Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we get back to the calls, so Doc, here's the question I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Right, we just gave a list of commanders' receiving targets, not just wide receivers, but if we want to just boil it down to the wide receivers of the last 4 weeks, it's Noah Brown at 27 and bleeping Terry McLaurin, as the author of the tweet says, at 17, so 10 less. Is it possible that Cliff Kingsbury is calling plays where, say, Terry McLaurin is the number one read and the number one option, but Jaden Daniels, for whatever reason, based on a pre-snap look, at the snap look, immediately scans off of Terry McLaurin when he sees that Terry is either getting a certain type of coverage that he doesn't like or doesn't think is good, and says, okay, I've got to get it to Noah Brown, who's not drawing bracket coverage, who's not drawing double team coverage, or Zach Ertz for that matter, or Austin Ekeler on a check down or a screen. Is it possible that the call is coming in, the play design is coming in favoring or calling for Terry McLaurin to be the number one option, but it literally goes quickly off of Terry based on the look, based on the kind of defense that they're playing, whether it be man, zone, whatever it is, and whether you're looking for a zone beat or a man beat or what have you?
Here's a quick answer to your question. Terry would be worth his weight in gold if he could force a defense to uncover itself to him and open it up for someone else. If they were, quote, doubling him, sliding to him, shifting to him, and leaving someone else one-on-one coverage that made them wide open.
Right.
But we're not getting the results of that. Doesn't mean it's not happening. Our guy either drops it, he either overthrows him,
or it doesn't get the
separation.
Or the
guy gets sacked. Yeah. There's a number of things could happen.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about a specific play. We're not getting the benefits from it. That'd be like Jerry Rice used to get.
Yeah. I love that, Doc, because you mentioned, and I heard you Sunday night when I got back in my car, you were talking about how every time you watched Deron Payne on Sunday, he was getting doubled, right?
Absolutely.
And that should free somebody up.
I specifically focused on, I said, wait a minute, we got a bad guy. Bag. Not bad. Bag. I look for bad guys. Bag. Where's my bad guy at? That means a guy I'm paying a lot of money to. I'm expecting him. They got a defensive, offensive line down two starters. Where's my guy? He's getting doubled. He did his job. So that means
but if somebody does their job and gets doubled, whether it's a receiver with safety help shaded over the top or a defensive tackle, you did your job.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to step up and help you on the other side
or
elsewhere in the route tree.
The scheme should be adjusted. That's what Little was saying to me on X.
Okay.
Why aren't we all out? Gorilla blitzing. We got to overload something to overcome. Okay. That didn't happen. We're just not winning because they're opening the door for us. We're not winning. In other words, when we go fourth and one, we pick the Eagles, we pick their best player to go at. The ball being bobbled, we'll never know now because you can't judge a play when the ball, the timings, everything's off. Play dead. But I'm going, people are right.
You mean back in the Philadelphia game, when they should have kicked the field goal?
Down,
right.
When you go on fourth down, we got Cosme. Why not? We got good people, too. So let's win with our stud. Well, we'll never know. Ball got bobbled. If you decide to go for it, I'm going behind a dude I'm paying a lot of money to. I expect that I got a good chance to win.
Right.
Why didn't we used to call it Red Dog back in the Stone Ages. We don't seem to all go all out. I remember Dallas back in the day. They used to blitz you almost to the point where that means I'm dictating to you. You got to get rid of it in three steps.
And you have to adjust.
You have to adjust. I didn't get the feeling that defensively we did that. We didn't overwhelmingly dictate that. Offensively, I don't think we hardly ever do that in the run game where we go, I don't give a damn what front you're doing. We're going to impose our will.
I think the Commanders did that a couple of times this year.
It's not your DNA.
I felt like that in the Giants, but it's not consistent.
You're artistic.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Double-breasted guy with pinstripe.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Back to the receivers thing, just to do a point of comparison. Like on Sunday, Noah Brown had 10 targets. He had 6 catches for 71 yards. He had 2 that could either be considered drops, non-catches, what have you. At least the way I had it. He had a long of 19. Terry McLaurin had 6 catches for 6 targets, 5 receptions, 102. But if he didn't have the long one, and you can't just take it out, but just if you just move it aside, he would have had 4 catches for basically 16 yards. Okay.
Right. That's the real game.
CeeDee Lamb, who was banged up throughout the week, playing on a short week with a backup quarterback and 2 missing starters on the offense and theoretically no running game, had 12 targets, twice as many targets as Terry McLaurin in the game. Now, he only had 10 catches for 67 yards, but he had 10 catches and he had 12 targets. So consistently, the Commanders, the football team, or the Redskins in Terry's career have struggled to emphasize Terry as a high-volume guy. It has happened under 3 different coordinators. Actually, I'll go back, 4 different coordinators. If you go, I think, and look at even the back half of 2019 with Kevin O'Connell calling plays after Jay was fired and Bill Callahan's the interim head coach, and certainly with Scott Turner, certainly with Eric Bieniemy, and certainly with Cliff Kingsbury. And it always seems like it's the first half where you look up and you say, wait a second, how does Terry only have 1 target?
Yeah.
How does Terry have no catches?
Well,
is that the
teams.
Quarterback? Is that the coordinator?
A lot
I don't know. What
teams,
is that?
Bad offenses, teams. Terry's not a. CeeDee Lamb, first of all, it's how much you're paying. What am I paying him? Makes a lot of money.
Terry makes pretty good amount of money,
good,
too.
But do I move one guy? Is one guy stagnant? Does one guy move? I mean, it's like how bad CD do I want to get one guy the ball as opposed to the other guy?
But why wouldn't you want to get Terry the ball? Or is that a quarterback operation decision as well? And maybe this what they're taught to do, which is, hey man, if you don't see the coverage that you want on this particular play or you think we should get, then you should go to Noah Brown. You should go to Zach Ertz.
I think at this point we're so long into the season that they are who they are, and the fact that he had his legs, no real physical limitations in this game. Then I would say, did he have any offensive line limitations? Because he's going to also be dictated by his front.
Well, the answer
is not
that
like he
was
had the Hogs.
Yes.
So you got to put that into consideration.
Right.
Who's he playing against? Is there a werewolf on the other side?
Right.
Yeah, that kid number 11. So that's what he's up against. Who you got blocking 11? So
yeah.
We can generalize if you want, just because it's talk radio. but that to me is a waste of our life.
Okay.
It's not specific enough for me. The point blank is that the game happened. You saw it. I saw it. Once again, you make too many damn mistakes.
Yeah.
And if you be pit, you're pros.
Yeah.
It's not high school. So I can be demanding and expect you to do your damn job. Run the proper freaking route. Don't come up short. Don't fumble. Do your job. We're not week one. We're in the season long enough now. We shouldn't be doing these things if you want to be a champion. If you want to be leader of a division or what, act like it. That's all I'm saying. You're at home, and I don't think we should be treating them like, you know, it's a kid's soccer team. What they did was ridiculous at this time of the year against a team that was beat up, battered, with that pathetic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they better deal with it properly, or it will happen again.
Yeah. And then you'll just get a participation trophy.
Well, that bingo.
Kind of like where you were coming
bingo.
From there. All right, let's go back to the calls. We don't have Nell, but we have Neil in North Carolina on the Odyssey app. What's up, Neil? How are you?
Kakalaki.
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
What's up, Neil?
Good. My question about the offense, you know, it's, you know, we lack playmakers other than Terry, so that's one point. We're playing better defenses. But, Doc, I'm like you, man. Now, it's time for them to transition over to Sennett and McCaffrey, man, because you drafted these guys. If the season hadn't gone like it was and we were like 5-7, I think Sennett and McCaffrey would be starters. They're your future. I know I like Noah Brown, but, you know, he's a body catcher. He drops two passes a game. And Zacchaeus, I mean, he's just another guy, man. I mean, it's time to put these guys. You drafted Sennett in the second round, and he can't get on the field ahead of Ertz. I know Ertz, he's done a good job, but he's not going to be on the team next year.
Well, Sennett's on the field in a lot of – I mean, he had that pancake block on the Jaden Daniels touchdown. Yep. He's on the field. He's just not getting targets, and he's not getting design. But, Doc, I mean, like, do they have to – I mean, at this point, at 7-5, with everything kind of going south, not that it's done, but everything going south, do you have to change some things up and get some young blood, if you will, in? And more of an emphasis.
Well, I don't think age has no ability on it. Do you want to win a game?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about winning the game.
Right, but how do you know that? I mean, just like people are going to say, well, go to Sennett, go to McCaffrey. And they make a fair point, but you don't know if that's going to win you the game. Do they have to emphasize those guys because Noah Brown, because Zach Ertz are catch and fall guys or a little bit stone handsy?
I think it's really simple that you're not winning with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're beyond
exactly.
the point.
So you need to make change.
You just lost to a pathetic team. If that doesn't piss you off enough,
I know that.
Then you're going to mess around and jeopardize your own positions.
Because
I'm going to tell you what now.
Yeah, because two you.
Yeah, this celebration, it's over.
I hope they do a better job.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
do a better job than 2 years ago when we were 7-5, and we know how that turned out.
Were they 7-5 in 2020?
The year we went 8-8-1, we were 7-5, and we tanked at 1-3-1.
You're right about that.
We ripped Ron and him for that. We definitely don't want to see
good
that
call.
Happen.
Yeah, good point on that. Thank you, Nell. Neil. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I had Nell on my mind.
He's kind of hard. He's so large. It's pretty hard to get him off your mind. Yeah.
Speaking of Nell, let's get to his. His number one fan, Double A, Athan in Annapolis.
Athan, oh God.
What's up, Double A?
Hey guys, happy Thanksgiving. A little early. Hope you had having a good day.
Same to you, pal.
Hey, I just want to say, just to piggyback off what the last caller said. You know, it's wide receivers more than anything to me, because think about what drop passes do. You lose time of possession, you lose momentum, and you lose points. And they dropped five passes against the Steelers. They dropped three against the Eagles, and they had some drops against Dallas. And they, you know, give Matt his credit. Just like yesterday, the boss, he said, they don't have a real number two. You know, Terry got blanketed by Bland or whatever you want to look at it. four catches, 16 yards before the big one. They don't have a number two, and they're body catchers. You don't have anybody on this team other than McCaffrey that really catches the ball with his hands at receiver. Even Terry's a little bit of a more of a body catcher. So they got work to do on that end.
Yep. Did we lose him?
I think we did.
Yep. I think we lost Double A. Double A, appreciate you as always. There is some am I smart enough to tell you body catcher, hands catcher? Here's the one thing that I will just say, and fans don't like this. Like, there is a prevailing theory, and I don't know, Doc, where you weigh in on this. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you get your hands on a ball as a receiver, tight end, back.
Catch it with your teeth. It right? Don't matter.
But if you get your hands on the ball, you absolutely should catch it no matter what. And I don't always subscribe to that theory.
Every shot a pro basketball player should make,
right.
Should make it.
Right. So I don't subscribe to that theory, that's a good corollary.
But most of them catch the large majority of them if the ball, you know, and they do. And I like all the guys, but there's a time that you got to make the catch, the mm-hmm. big catch. And when you're trailing and you're on a losing streak, you got to make every play.
Yeah, every it's not every like
we're
up yet,
and that's where we're at right now. We're at the point now where the warm and fuzzy stuff is over. You know, it's over. We got to snap out of this dream we're in and get back to reality. So that this doesn't end up being a nightmare of a season, but it is a celebrating season.
It's quickly
you're
becoming
messing around
a little
now.
Bit. Yeah,
you're messing around.
You're out of lifelines.
Losing to these bums, which I never even envisioned, but I know anything's possible. Come on, man.
All right, so we're looking for your number one reason why the offense is struggling. Number one reason why the offense is struggling. We realize it's everything and everybody, but just the number one reason and why the offense is struggling. Let's get to the aforementioned Little. What's up, Little?
Caruso, shout out to the legend. Shout out to Ice.
What up,
man,
Little?
I'm going to tell you now. Hey, man, I don't care what nobody's saying. You got Dante Fowler, 8 sacks, man. You don't see him not one time? You got the whole guy. Oh, I'm sorry, dog. I'm going to watch my language. I know this is a family show. But the whole DMV, including me. Yeah, you got paid, man. You got paid, don't we? I'm serious about this, man. And I hope you're listening because this is the kind of city, man. You don't come in this city trying to live with us, man.
Little, your phone is all muffled. So your phone is all muffled. Thank you. It was not on topic anyway. But thank you. Guys, I allow a lot of latitude. Please, 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 please. Let's try and, again, for the purposes of the radio show, let's try and answer the question. And, let's not do your own talk show. Let's do this talk show. Okay, I allow a lot of latitude, but I need you to help me out. Let's get to our guy, Toothpick. I know Toothpick will be on target here. What up, Pick? How are you? Sorry, I forgot about you at the top of the screen here. My bad.
Not a problem, Chris. Listen, I do appreciate your question, but in the ultimate team sport, you're asking us to pinpoint one person that's pretty much at fault. And that's sort of hard to do because Brian Robinson hasn't played a whole season in his whole NFL career. Even in his first season when he got shot and missed those first four games, at the end of the year, he missed games too. Your number one workhorse running back is hurt often during the season. That's why people refuse to pay them. And then you're pointing out Terry right now, right? But other offensive coordinators will find a way to get him the ball. It's just our offensive coordinators, as many as we've had, have not found a way to get him balls and get him targets. Move him, screens, little things, get him targets, get him involved in the game. We don't do that to the second half of the games. So to answer your question, who's at fault? Ron Rivera. Because we don't have a number two receiver on the team. That's who's at fault right now. Thanks for taking my call, man.
That's great. That's great. Thank you, Peg. Appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving. He said Ron Rivera. And, you know, I laugh about that. But, Doc, is there some truth to that? They had Terry. He didn't draft Terry. They kept Terry, but they never found a number two, right? I mean, if you think about it, who's the number two right now on this team? It's Noah Brown, and sometimes he's the number one. It Diami Brown was their answer, and Diami Brown has been, I don't want to say invisible, but Diami Brown has not been impactful enough, right? And at times he's been invisible over his career.
Dude, let's move on. I mean, we can't just keep beating this dead horse off. We've already cremated the horrible job that was done by that whole group. Let's move on.
You love Ron.
I mean, what does Magic Johnson know about winning anything?
But he's a horrible coach. He's a horrible administrator.
Did you hear what Ron asked?
No.
I mean, what does Magic Johnson know about winning anyone?
That's exclusive comments from Ron Rivera on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. Oh, you know the number. 301-230-0980. Janet, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Those of you that have already knocked off of work for the week, I'm jealous. Jealous, envious, DOC and I carving it up until 4 o'clock today. Craig Hoffman at that point, he will take over Bulls Wizard 6:45 tonight right here on the Team 980 and that horrible ass looking court that the NBA has decided to create and have designed for all of these NBA Cup teams. So that'll be in effect tonight at Capital One Arena again, 6:45. Thank goodness you don't have to see it if you listen to the game. Here's the best advice I can give. Any NBA Cup team, the good news is you don't have to see the court. You just listen to the game and not worry about it. The optics won't be so bad. Huge win for the Caps last night, baby, against the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers.
Without the great eight.
You know who is back? The Tiger. Lars Eller. Yeah. Not one, but two last night for old Lars. The Capitals are truly, not Russian machine never breaks, but they are a machine that hasn't broke on the road this year. They've been great. And another big win last night. We'll see what they can do in Tampa tomorrow
night. Should we give that more stability in terms of structure, staff, Carberry? I mean, and the thing I love about Puck and the tribute of the fathers and role models, most sports don't give Papa Bears much love.
Mm-hmm.
I love how hockey does that. Moms get everything and deservedly so. Yeah. But hockey to
does
my
it a little bit different. Yeah,
a little different.
Yeah. Well, and we should point out it's not always the fathers. It's the mentors.
It's the mentors.
Because sometimes, obviously, your father's not able to make it, or unfortunately,
but it's just what's the mentors.
Right. Yeah. No. You're absolutely right. I mean, some teams do the mothers. Some teams do the mothers. Everybody does it a little bit different.
It don't have to be just Pop.
Yep.
But I just think it's the only one I've ever heard of doing it.
You're right.
And I love the fact the way the Caps do it every year and that road trip and having Papa Bear speaking. And I listened to, as a matter of fact, I didn't watch the Monday night game, listen to Puck. And it was good because we needed a win.
I heard it.
If you lose two without Ovi, it starts to put a cast over.
Well, they had lost two. They didn't want to lose three.
Point.
Right, yeah,
losing
exactly.
three.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep saying to myself, in this town, we keep going, we want a winner, you want a winner.
Yeah.
Then we get one, and we don't pay attention.
Mm.
That pisses me off.
Yeah, we need to give the Caps definitely absolutely more love.
You, my friend, you are the flag bearer for that.
I try.
And no, you did it because you make it conscious to me always a time to always make sure that I pay more of attention and that I then back it up. And then Koken, and who Smoking Al is, and I always give him credit because in 1980 saved the Caps. We wouldn't even have a hockey club.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that vividly. It's 45 years ago.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have it.
Yeah.
But you is the guy that's been the biggest influence for me.
I appreciate it.
And making
that.
Sure that I always do my little due diligence to make sure that my little bit of market gets that blasted out like I would as much time as we spent on this pathetic, this product had been in the past, you know what I mean? And we give it everything, and here these guys are busting their behinds, and we hardly ever mention it.
No, you're right. I mean, and obviously, of course, during the offseason, the NFL offseason, we certainly talk more Caps than we do right now, but they deserve as much attention as we can, you know, reasonably give, because they have been terrific so far. And again, just last night is a perfect example. You lose two in a row, right? You're struggling and scuffling a little bit without eight, and then you go on the road. And granted, it was up against the backup goaltender, but it's still the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers who are out early 1-0, and you could have hung your head, and they just boom, came right back in a convincing walk-away win.
And so kudos. Wilson, for me, as soft as the NFL has become with all these rules and all the everybody, it's the most physical sport on the planet.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, shout out.
I agree. There was a dirty hit in the Anaheim game last night that I was watching overnight. I call it a dirty hit. It was a violent hit. I didn't think it was a dirty hit, yet a lot of people are making a big deal out of it and saying, you know, oh, you know, Gary Bettman, this, and the NHL should be ashamed. No. People, everything has to have it's like the Cliff Kingsbury numbers, just to go back to that for a sec. It's like any numbers that you throw out there, right? What nuance and what context do you provide? Do you just throw out a set of raw data and say, well, this is it. This must be the reason. See, this is why I don't love the analytics amigos. You know, because people can sit here and say EPA per play and EPA this and EPA that. And what's the other one that I hate? DVOA. And there's no context. There's no meat on the bone. There's no nothing. There's just a bunch of numbers.
But there is a marketplace for it, an interest, and somewhere down the road, we all profit from it.
Because
without them, the game wouldn't be as profitable. So I got to believe it, because you can't be the number one sport on the planet unless you get people who, A, never done it, never had no interest in it, but now on board, whether it's wagering, that's why I love every element. I accept it all, because the way a lot of us grew up with it, that dog is gone. It's over. It's like college now. We're going to end up with a national champion eventually. It's going to have three losses.
Yeah.
Get ready for it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And it might be the best football we've ever experienced.
Well, and everybody ruling out Alabama, I mean, because you got
anybody.
12-team playoff, a lot of things can happen still.
Whole new landscape.
A lot of things can happen
get ready
still.
For it.
Let's get to the quick trending alert and then right back to the calls. I promise, guys, we're coming at you. 301-230-0980. Quick trending alert right here, right now. Now, remember on opening day in Miami, Tyreek Hill was pulled over, cited by cops, thrown to the ground, all sorts of things.
Bullied.
He said his wrist has never been the same. Well, today, there was a court hearing, but two traffic citations were dismissed when the responding officers failed to appear at a court hearing. How about that? So Tyreek Hill not going to face any legal issues as a result of that disappearance,
please,
if you
don't
will.
Tell me you're surprised.
No, not really surprised.
Good.
How about this? Shaq Barrett, right? You remember him as a big-time pass rusher with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, wound up in Miami.
Yeah.
He retired, and now he wants back in. He's applied for immediate reinstatement. Mm-hmm. According to Adam Schefter, the Dolphins still currently hold his contractual rights. The Dolphins play Thursday night at Lambeau Field in Green Bay. Speaking of Thursday, Thanksgiving Thursday, Tommy DeVito, who, did not play very good for the Giants on Sunday against those Buccaneers, he's not 100% to play on Thanksgiving because of a forearm injury, according to Giants head coach Brian Daboll. You can hear all three Thanksgiving Day games right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app via our friends at Westwood One, and that's what's trending. He's not even in here for his theme song, Maddie. I barely made it back. You have no idea how hard it is to go to the bathroom and to make a pot of coffee in one commercial break, but somehow I did it. Got it done, baby. All right, back to the calls we go, because we got a bunch of you guys on hold, and we want to get to as many of you as we can and as quickly as we can. Let's go to Dontell and Frederick next up. Dontell, how are you, pal?
All right, Chris, what's happening, buddy?
What's shaking, D?
Not a whole lot, not a whole lot, man. I think I just went through three lunch breaks waiting on you, so my clout must not be good on this show.
No. It's just we got a lot of calls, and then Doc and I sometimes get distracted, and we wind up getting into a debate, and we lose a segment, and it's like, okay. So we try. I can't ever guarantee anything, but we try. But you're one of our guys.
I got two things for you guys. I got one for Doc and one for you because I want to answer your question about the offense and who I blame. But first, I got something for Doc, and then I want to hear how you guys respond to it.
All right.
But first of all, Doc.
Well, he's not in studio right now, so I'm gonna have to pass it along to him. So.
Yeah, I don't understand how somebody that was a part of the greatest run game that maybe ever existed in NFL thinks that Brian Robinson is the answer. B. Rob is not that good, man. He's just not. He's an average NFL running back, and I just don't know why we put so much emphasis on him.
Well, when you say average NFL running back, like how are you determining that? Because when he's healthy, and if we're not talking about as a Marshall Faulk type running back receiver, like when he's healthy, Brian Robinson is what I would say is good. He's not elite. He's not great, but he's good. The problem is he hadn't been healthy.
He's not Derrick Henry.
Of course he's not.
McCaffrey. Sure. He's just an average NFL running back.
Yeah, but he was a third-round pick. I mean, he wasn't a first-round pick like those guys were. He's not Saquon Barkley. You're right. You're right. He's not in the Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, or Derrick Henry mold. No, nobody said he was. But Dontella is a little miffed that we think so highly of Brian Robinson.
Why wouldn't we think highly of him? When he's healthy,
he's just the average NFL running back to me.
Okay.
I mean, your best ability is availability. And
well, I'm with you.
We just
can't argue.
It's just not.
Yeah. I cannot argue.
Anything you say, cannot argue. You win every argument.
Yeah. That I cannot. I cannot dispute.
That kid, that young man I talked about is at Iowa right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I could kidnap him, he's there right now.
Right.
Beast.
Yeah.
You
seen the kid at Boise State, Ashton Gentry?
Nice.
Yeah.
I've never stopped loving running backs.
Yeah.
I really don't. But you got to have the coordinator's got to believe in it run the ball. I don't know if we had O.J. Simpson right now that we'd run the ball. That's my issue. My issue is that I don't give a damn. I don't know if we had whomever that we'd actually run the ball the way I want to run the ball. That's my question.
I just thought you gave him too much praise, Doc, because he was a part of the greatest run game ever.
No, I mean, when he's healthy. No, you're right. B. Mitch coined the phrase, the availability. Right now, I'm playing as much as he's playing. It's not his fault, but reality is reality. You know, durability is everything. You're right. You make a great point. I ain't mad at you.
All right, what else did you have, Dontell?
Hey, Chris, about this offense, and you said everybody's getting the blame. Now, except the right guy, in my opinion. We have blamed Dan Quinn for decisions that he made. We blame Cliff Kingsbury. Mm-hmm. We've blamed Jaden. We've blamed Terry for not getting open, the wide receivers, the offensive line, everybody. The guy that I think that deserves this blame for the offense is Adam Peters because he blew it on the trade deadline. Our offense was almost great if he would have pulled the plug and went and got a great receiver. This offense was tight, and he didn't do that. He went and addressed the defense, who was actually getting better each and every week, so I don't understand that. And he went and got a guy that we can't even get on the field.
Well, to be fair, and I understand your point, he really needed to make that deal like before the trade deadline because a lot of the big guys were gone. You know what I'm saying?
I just think we had enough assets to get a sign and trade with T. Higgins, who wants money, and the Bengals ain't going to be able to pay him.
That's fair.
Can't argue that.
That's fair. The only thing that I would say, and Dottel, I appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Strong dog.
The only thing I would disagree with is not only did it take the assets, but T. Higgins is not healthy all the time. Like, if we're talking about Marshawn Lattimore not playing, T. Higgins is banged up a lot, too. I mean,
you're right.
You know, again,
right.
I can't go into a long dissertation.
He's not a war horse.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Let's get to Mr. UCLA, John in Falls Church. What's up, John? How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, hey, John. What's going on?
Bruin.
Yeah, sorry about our Bruins the last couple weeks.
No, ain't nothing to be sorry about. No. I recommend that we're going to have to go on the dark side you know, like the Wolverines, and you're going to have to start figuring out some other ways. Because I'm telling you what, man, if you're not doing that other thing, you ain't trying.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but
I think you figured out. I think you figured out. Yeah.
I thought, you know, for a little while there, it seemed like they were making a little bit of headway, and then splat against USC the other night, and obviously got run around by Washington.
They throw the ball a million. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Throw.
But wait. The analytics amigos say throwing the football is the only way you can win.
Okay. They'll all be home with us watching the playoffs.
Okay.
So, Doc made a point earlier about Jerry Rice, and I feel like that one of the things that Washington fans are – well, I mean, obviously the whole offense is depleted right now. Just like in general, there's just not a ton of talent that's already bubbling up and being, like, you know, developed. You know, Zach Ertz is good, but he's going downhill. But back to Terry, which we've talked a lot about today, you know, Terry is more of a John Taylor, and John Taylor was great, and he mm-hmm. stood out because, and I don't say he's necessarily number two. He could be one if there's another number 1A or mm-hmm. 1B with him, but he's not, he's, you know, if he played back then, he'd be absolutely better than John Taylor. But he is, you're asking John Taylor to take on, you know, all these great teams to do these things that he's not necessarily equipped to do. And now you're blaming, not you guys, but people are blaming Terry or the offense for, like, you know, other teams can triple team him in their own ways. Could bracket him. They could push him outside. They could do anything they want to him. And we're expecting the offense to just, like, keep throwing to him, even though there's not really a second or third threat that is going to, you know, take the focus off him
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see what the next option is. Well, so there's definitely needs another wide receiver out there.
Well, there's no doubt that they're going to have to target that here. I mean, period. Like, we all knew, even when they signed Noah Brown. Noah Brown was... he was injured a bunch, and he's already missed one game because of injury here, and he missed the first game because he got here late, and they didn't feel comfortable or whatever. But now, as we've watched Noah Brown develop, one thing we know, he can draw defensive pass interference penalties every game, for the most part. I think he had like a 5-game streak snap the other day. But we know he's got inconsistent hands, so you have no choice if you're Adam Peters but to say, hey, man, however we do it, and we need to probably do it twice, whether it's T. Higgins and a draft pick, whether it's somebody else in a draft pick, you probably have to do it twice, not once, to upgrade the room to get us to a point where we feel like we have enough difference makers that when things are going wrong and when teams are blanketing Terry and teams are taking away Terry or Jaden doesn't feel comfortable for whatever reason, whether it's coverage or whatever, with Terry, we have somebody else reliable to go to, not 33-year-old Zach Ertz.
Totally agree.
Thank you, John. Appreciate
Good
you.
Stuff,
Happy
John.
Thanksgiving, man. Sorry about your Bruins. I know you guys were... getting a little excited about that, but
we got to start, you know, filming practices or doing something.
Old Eric Bieniemy was starting to look like he was getting the band going, and then it's kind of hit the skids the last 2 weeks. Let's get to Steve in Fort Washington next up on the Team 980. Steve, how are you?
How you doing, Jim?
Hey Steve, what's going on?
So we were talking about the issues with the offense, and I think that the quarterback that we have doesn't trust Terry. When you look at the skill set positions, and especially if he's getting single coverage, I don't believe there's a corner in the league that can check Terry one-on-one. And especially as far as him fighting for the ball, Terry's skill set is very great. His IQ is great, and he has great hands. I think the issue is Daniels don't trust him, and I mean if you can't throw the ball, do ball placement. I think he needs to work out with Terry. He had said something in a press conference the other day about the practices. I think he needs to spend time with the receiving core and De'Ami Brown.
Wait, before you move on to De'Ami Brown, let me ask you. I think your point might have some merit, okay? Because they haven't worked together for years and years and years, right? They don't have 3 years of cohesion and chemistry on the right? So there is a possibility that for whatever reason, they're not exactly on the same page or they're not exactly in rhythm or what have you. But I don't think it's a don't trust. I think it's a don't have. Does that make sense? And you might say, well, why do they trust Noah Brown? Well, they don't. It's not that they trust Noah Brown more than they trust Terry McLaurin the way I see it. It's Noah Brown gets less attention than Terry McLaurin. So logically, if the quarterback is reading things out based on coverage, based on shade, based on whatever, he might say, well, Noah Brown is getting this and Terry's getting that. But then there is the one example late in the first quarter that I mentioned yesterday where Terry didn't get any separation, where Terry, you know, Jaden maybe could have made a slightly better throw, but it's a long ball. It's a go route. It's what you want. It's one of those 50-50 type situations. And Terry didn't come up with it, and Jaden didn't make a good enough throw, and the defender, Jordan Lewis, was right there. So, I mean, sometimes that happens as well.
Well, I agree with you. It depends on the coverage, but what I'm saying is, if he's getting single coverage, I'm going to Terry. And the reason I'm going to Terry is because football is based off of matchups. I don't believe that a wide receiver could be covered by a corner. There's a reason that he plays corner. If he was good, he would be playing receiver. So I'm going to throw the ball. And the rule set for football today is a 50-50 ball. Mm. So at worst, you got a pass interference. I'm going at my dog. There was a receiver back in the day. His name was Steve Smith.
Yep.
He wasn't tall. He was a dog.
He was a bulldog.
You got to throw the playmakers the ball. And that's where I'm going with it.
I understand that, Steve. Let me jump in here because we got to run. I understand that. But Doc, you know what you're going to have to live with? You're going to have to live with it's not the worst that could happen is a defensive pass interference. The worst that can happen is an interception. And you're going to have to live with more of that if you want to take more chances on the 50-50 stuff. Like, again, the quarterback might be saying, well, wait a second. They're telling me in practice and the virtual reality and in film instruction, hey man, if I get this coverage on Terry, I have to go here. They might be telling me that. And maybe that is a coaching point that they need to de-emphasize. I don't know.
Away his ability to be instinctual, and Terry seldom loses battles. High balls. He's so strong
right
at the point of attack, yeah, at the ball.
Sure.
Very few times I wouldn't take him in a battle with a corner.
That's fair.
Because
then we just have to.
Look at the quarterbacks he had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And he won a lot of those battles, bad balls.
But we have to live with the low side, the downside to that too.
And I'm willing to try that.
Okay, that's fine.
I think I have to now.
I think you will try. I think they will try more of that.
I think I have to now because we're just not scoring enough points.
Yeah.
I've got to do something. I don't have enough help.
That's fair. We got to take a timeout. We'll do so right here, right now on the Team 980. More of your calls coming up. Plus, what the hell did we have in the 3 o'clock hour? I'm trying to think. We had something, Matt, we'll get some other things going on as well. Dumb Dumb of the Day and everything in between on the Team 980. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Odyssey app. All right, I think we have time for one quick one here before the top of the hour. Let's go to Alex in Alexandria. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Russ.
Alex?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Hello.
Yo, you got me?
I got you.
All right, shoot.
Shoot. Well, if we're going to talk about who to blame here, you know, I question the decision on the to go for a field goal. On a 51-yard field goal.
Right, right. But that's just one game specific. That's just one game specific.
Yeah. But I'm saying is the decisions that are being made. Like, if I'm not mistaken, they were carrying two kickers on Sunday. And
no, Zane Gonzalez is on the practice squad. He is not on the – so they would have had to activate him, like, as a game day elevation, which – they could have, to your point, but they chose not to. So I guess that would fall, on the GM.
And the other one is B-Rob. I like him. I think he's a great runner. I mean, given if when he's healthy, he's good. I like him. I like his passion, the way he runs. Mm-hmm. But the only I question the coaches here as well is if he's been injured a lot. Not 100%. Why are you going and cut his backup?
Well, that's fair. I mean, they felt like they needed an extra defensive lineman, and what's his name? Javante Jean-Baptiste, and that's obviously where they went. Now, I have not seen. Maybe they have. I did not see it. Hopefully they got Chris Rodriguez back on the practice squad, but I have not seen that yet. So we'll see what happens. But they're going to need either Chris Rodriguez or Michael Wiley, who was a preseason guy and who looked impressive. They're going to need at least one of them up this week, and maybe and arguably both. Alex, thank you. Appreciate it. Got to let you run. We are up against it. We will have more of your calls coming back on the other side. I see all the usual suspects. You guys just, again, be patient. We'll get to you as fast as we can on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.